Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 21st, 2018. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 76, the first paragraph. Today's readers are Libby E. on the 12 steps, Nancy T. on the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Elaine T., Jordan L., and Julie E. B. The share ID for Wednesday's 10 a.m. meeting, June 20th, is 11,564, and this morning, June 21st, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 11,568. And Melanie C. will be our newcomer greeter today. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contribution, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Libby E. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. I'm Libby E., recovered compulsive eater in New York. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. I will now ask Nancy T. to read our 12 traditions.
Thank you, Kathy K. My name is Nancy T., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 76, the first 2 paragraphs, and I will ask Elaine T. to begin reading.
Hi, Kathy K. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. This is Elaine T., gratefully recovered for one day at a time in Pittsburgh. If we can answer to our satisfaction, then we look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all? Every one. If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. So, it's amazing how much there is here in these 2 paragraphs. The first thing that sticks out to me is the word willingness, because for years and years, I used to even pitch in the rooms that will was a 4-letter word and that I was struggling with it. And that was the truth. I really got stuck on step 6 for quite a while. I believe that the grosser defect of character in my case, which was resentment and anger, God was working on, but there were so many others. And it seemed overwhelming to me. And I wasn't doing step 10, so I really wasn't noticing how frequently those other defects came up. Today I work step 10 regularly, and I know that it is the only thing that helps me see my defects, and because of that, God can remove them. He can't take something from me which I don't even realize I've got. I can't give it away. And the prayer is so wonderful. I'd love to say this prayer. It reminds me not only of my character defects, probably don't need to be reminded too often, they sort of slap me in the face, but also the fact that the purpose of getting rid of those defects is my usefulness to myself, to God and my fellows. Like other people have shared earlier today, my characteristics are both defects and positive attributes. My stubbornness, when it's used appropriately, is the same perseverance that helps me work the program. But it was also my stubbornness in many times that got me stuck in resentment and being unwilling. And today I'm grateful that that's not the case. And with that, I pass.
Sorry.
Thank you, Elaine T. Okay, who would like to share on what was read?
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Shannon S.
Julie
E.B.
Okay, I didn't get...
Devora S.
Okay, 1 minute. So far I have Kristen R., Shannon S. There was someone after Shannon, Julie E.B., and Devora S. Who did I miss?
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Okay, thank you, Mary Lee R. Okay. Okay, well, why don't we start with those five? Kristen R., Shannon S., Kristen R., Shannon S., Mary Lee R., Julie E.B., and Devora S. Please go ahead, Kristen.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you to everyone who made this meeting possible today. Good morning. My name is Kristen R. I am a compulsive eater in Virginia. Step seven is so powerful because it really was for me the first time that I really looked at myself, was able to look at myself honestly and say, God, you can take it all because I can't handle it anymore. And I always find every time I do step seven, the quality of what the prayer is and the quality of the surrender is a direct result of steps 1 to 6. How honest was I? Was I truly honest, or was I just a little bit honest, just enough to get me by? So if I'm able to be fully honest and fully surrendered, then that's when step 7 really, really begins to be felt in my heart. I had to call another fellow last night because I started thinking whether or not my abstinence, and no, I started thinking, which was probably my first mistake, whether or not my abstinence was a real abstinence. And thank God she was there to talk me through and be there for me, be my God with skin on, because I needed in that moment to hear another human being say, you're okay, you're okay. And step 7 reminds me with the first word, humbly, that unless I come to step 7 on my knees and willing to truly surrender all the good and all the bad, meaning not only my character defects, but I'm willing to give you the good stuff too, the ego boosts that I would get from my pride, you know, all the little short-term, you know, like heroin shots I would get of pride and egotism and attention. Oh, I love attention. You know, all those little things, I'm giving them to God and saying, okay, I'm going to do without this attention today. I'm going to do without it because what I know is going to change me at root, at my deepest roots, at my deepest core, is a connection to my higher power. And that connection is blocked every time I get into too much of my assets and too many of my character defects. So again, the first word of step 7 is humbly, and I have to show up humbly every day and say, you know what? I don't know what the answer is, but I trust that I have a higher power. I trust that my higher power will be there for me throughout the day. I don't know what today brings. I don't know. I don't even know how I'm going to feel in 10 minutes, but I trust that whatever happens, my higher power that I call God is going to be there for me and hold my hand and walk me through it and forgive me when I need to be forgiven. And that's all I have to share. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Kristen R. Shannon S., please go ahead and share.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the service everyone's provided for this meeting. This is Shannon S., gratefully recovered in New York. And this passage brought me back to page 13 in Bill's story, where it says, I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. I have not had a drink since. And I love the visual images that Bill and the other writers use throughout this book. So I'm a real visual person. And so I think about, you know, in my garden, if I just pull out the tops of the weeds without the roots, they're going to keep coming back. And so, you know, week after week, I'm just going to be pulling out the tops. What I need to do is I need to get down underneath the initial topsoil and I need to dig out those roots. And for me, the way that I need to do that, of course, I need to be working the preceding steps to become aware of what those things are, and then share it with somebody else. They can give me more insight. And then that step six piece, that willingness to have these things removed, this is something that really eluded me for a long time, and I did not put much stock in. And so today, I really try to be in a place of being willing to have God remove all of my defects of character. For me, it's very important to live in that place all the time, because for a while, I was asking God, please remove these defects of character. I was saying that seven-step prayer, but you know what? I was still hanging on. So I was making it impossible, because God doesn't come in and enforce me. God, I've heard the description of, you know, God is a gentleman, and my God is. My God doesn't come in and treat me like a robot and just deprogram me or rip things out of my hand. You know, if I'm hanging on to something, I'm given the choice to do that, but that also stands in the way and does not allow God to remove those things. And so when I hold myself, when I hold my true self with an open hand, then I can be in a place for God to remove those defects. And they can be removed for a minute, an hour, half a day, a week, a month. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be removed permanently. But and that's why I have to be in that place of being willing, so that God can come in and do for me what I can't do for myself. Because, boy, I sure spent a lot of time trying to remove those defects myself, and I can get back to that place. But I need to be willing. And sometimes I'm not, because I'm scared. I'm scared that God's going to remove all these things from me, and then I'm going to be like Swiss cheese with holes all through me, and I'm going to feel vulnerable, and I'm going to feel naked, and I'm going to feel raw. So I hang on to those. I often call my defects my protective factors, because they started off as protection. I hang on because I think that they're going to be protection for me. But you know what? When I get over that fear, when the pain of where I'm at is greater than the fear of what's ahead, and I let God remove those things and allow God to rush in, man, it's such a beautiful place. So for me, willingness is the key today. Thanks a lot, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Shannon F. Mary Lee R., please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line and their service. And wow. You know, step six and seven for me used to be the drive-by steps. I just didn't really pay much attention, and the groups I was in, they didn't pay much attention. And wow. You know, step six, it just pretty well gathers up all of the character defects that I discovered in doing the work up until that point. And then I need the willingness to make the transition to go over to step seven, you know, where I can humbly ask my divine director to remove those shortcomings. And I've been spending some time recently on six and seven, and it's balance and, you know, what sustains us and what doesn't sustain us. And, you know, my character defects can be too much or too little, and both are forms of spiritual illness and that prevent a spiritual solution. So I am just so grateful that this is what we are doing this morning, and I don't usually share, and I'm grateful that I got a little nudge from my divine director to say, you can speak up and claim your spot this morning, and life presented an opportunity for me to be able to be on the meeting live, and so I'm really, really grateful. I'm grateful for all my podmates that are on this journey with me. Thank you for letting me share, and that's it.
Thank you very much, Mary Lee R. Julie E.B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God one day at a time in Colorado. What a miracle that I might be willing that my higher power would have all of me, good and bad, because boy, did I know how to hold back. And when I had parts of me that were bad, those were the parts that I used to turn to my main God, which was the food. And I thought that a donut would be the kindness I needed when I had been controlling, or when I had been frightened, or when I had been selfish. And I remember when I first walked into the rooms, I had a powerful experience of hearing about defects and cringing and wondering if I could ever go back again, because they were on those steps. It was those months of the year. And I just want to know, let newcomers present know that if you're at the first step, if you're just trying to figure out how to put down the food, just stay there and hang on for the miracle. Because as I put down the food, I all of a sudden realize all the areas of my life, my feelings and the causes and conditions, the way that life had happened to me, the things I dwelt on, that were overwhelming me. And then I just took inventory, and it was sharing it with another that was trustworthy and accepting that made me first believe, sharing it with myself, my God, and another fellow, that made me first believe, what if there was a higher power that existed that could use me the way I am now, good and bad, and could be in the process of helping me be removing my defects of character so I could be useful. Not so everyone would love me, not so I would be perfect, not so I would conquer everything. So this isn't a miracle that I can come to a place. It's like a deeper third step prayer of saying, all of me, I've looked at it, good and bad. I'm willing that you would have all of me. And this is a miracle for me, that I don't have to hide in the food, hide my head in shame. I have a higher power who accepts me, good and bad, and is willing to start from there and teach me. So now I just see myself each day as a growing, unfolding child of the universe, just learning, just one of God's kids. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for all your service. I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Devora F., please share with us.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Good to hear you and everyone on the line. Thank you for being here. I'm Devora S. from New Jersey, a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God, for today. And you know, these paragraphs, it's like doing step one again. I'm powerless. I'm powerless over food and people and everything. And now I'm powerless over my character defects. So, you know, there's really nothing I can do about my character defects except know that I recognize them and And I don't have that power to change me. But I can try. I could certainly recognize what they are, and I do the action work, and I'm a day at a time, I am a different person than I was when I came in, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I hope so. But God is the only one that could really, really take them away from me. And that to me is like, you know, knowing that I'm powerless over it is such a relief. And it's like, okay, so all I need to do is just do the steps of the footwork here. And just keep going in the direction, you know, that's laid out in this book. So I keep working it each day and doing the best I can, you know, waking up in the morning, asking God what his will is for me today. And just trying to do the next right thing. And I don't have to say, okay, God, today's going to be the day that my selfishness is going to disappear. But I know that today is that when something comes up, I could see what my part is, and I can see, you know, how I'm getting the ball rolling. And that's a big change for me, because honestly, when I was eating and in the food and fat and miserable, I never saw those things. And, you know, it was all about me and what I wanted, and, you know, forget everybody else. I wanted what I wanted, and you know, I was plowing everybody down. So, you know, just knowing that I don't have the power to take these character defects away, and it's God's job, I'm just going to, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing. And that in itself is growth. And, you know, leaving it up to God, just like I gave my food problem to God. You know, I have to still do the work. God's not going to come down and cut my vegetables for me. I still have to do, you know, my part of it. But, you know, God is keeping me, you know, in the, you know, giving me, you know, this freedom from this obsession. And I know that a day at a time, every day that I'm working this program, you know, I see a little bit of my character defects getting less and less. And I'm never going to be perfect. That's another thing. I know that I'm never going to be perfect, because, you know, who's perfect? God is perfect. And I know that this is something that is bringing me closer to God. You know, my character defects is what I turn to God each day to help me to grow and to get better. And that's what's keeping me close to God. So this is a lifetime job for me each day. And each day that I'm recognizing, you know, my part, my stuff, that is bringing me closer to God. And you know, seeking his will for me. And who would think that, you know, I came into this program, honestly, I came into this program to lose weight. I was 280 pounds. I was fat and miserable, sick and dying, high blood pressure, diabetes. I was a walking time bomb. But who would think that all this stuff is necessary for me to do on a daily basis? Otherwise, I'll get back into the food and I'll get back to where I was when I came in. So really grateful. It's a small price. All these things, it's just a small thing to pay for me to stay recovered. And I'm so grateful, because I'm not in that bondage of self today, but I'm in the looking to see how I can be of service to God and to my fellows, and doing it happily. You know, that is the truth, and I'm so grateful. And for another day to be willing, along with all of you guys. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Devorah S. Okay, who else would like to share on these paragraphs?
Patty T.
Mary D.
Phoebe D.
The second name was what? Shelley G.
Mary G.
Oh, Mary G. Sorry. And then after Mary?
Phoebe B.
Phoebe B. Okay.
Yep.
Who else?
Rose N.
Rose N.
Yes.
Take one or two more.
Bonnie M.
Bonnie M. Is there someone else? Okay, we'll stop there.
Faith M.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Faith M.
Faith M. Okay, Faith, thank you.
Jordan L.
So, who is that?
Jordan L.
Joy L.
Jordan L.
Oh, Jordan L. Sorry, Jordan. Thank you. Okay, we have Patty T, Mary G, Phoebe B, Rose N, Bonnie M, Faith M, and Jordan L. Please go ahead, Patty T.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for your shares, and thank you for your service. Gosh, this is so amazing to hear about and read about the power of willingness in order to find humility. That's basically what 5 and 6 are to me today. And, you know, that's what I started out with in step 1, was the willingness to admit that I was powerless over food. And I remember the first time I did a 4th step, when I was giving away my 5th step, at the end of that session, my sponsor said to me, "Now, I just want to let you know that you're going to begin to see your character defects more clearly. You're going to see them as they come up, and I don't want you to be disappointed or frightened or twisted about them in any way. You're ready to see them now so that you can turn them over to God." And I didn't really get what she meant, but in the coming days and weeks, it was absolutely true. I was able to recognize the character defects that I relied on throughout my life, you know, and then as those things would come up, I would talk to her about them, and she would say, okay, and she would show me, you know, that flip side of stubbornness was tenacity or perseverance, and that flip side of fear was faith, and, you know, that flip side of control was letting go, and, you know, and I began to learn how to embrace with curiosity those aspects of my personality that had never really been exercised before. You know, and yet there were those that I was terrified to let go of. You know, that control thing, I was terrified of letting go of my self-reliance. You know, my ego had run me for so many years. And she said, all you have to do is ask God to remove it. Just give it to God. As you see it come up, you can't do it any more than you could the food. And, you know, the fact is that, you know, by the time I got to step 6, you know, these steps are divinely inspired. By the time I got to step 6, I was ready to see and hear my character defects. You know, when you're in the food, when you're actively engaged in addiction, you can't see anything beyond the menu. You can't hear anything because of the chewing. At least I couldn't. You know, I couldn't hear what I felt. I couldn't hear what I thought. I couldn't hear you. You know, and I didn't care. All I cared about was whatever the thing was that was going in my mouth. And I'll wrap up. I'm just so grateful today that I have the ability to lean into God and go toward willingness. You know, willingness is key. It's throughout this book. It's almost on every page. And I'm so grateful to share my recovery with all of you. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Mary G., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Mary G., a compulsive overeater from Arizona, presently in Minnesota. And thank you for allowing me to share and for all those who have shared and for your service today. You know, these two steps, oh, I so totally misunderstood them when I came into program. And actually for years, when I would work the steps, I used it as a checklist. Yes, I'm entirely ready to have God remove my defects. Yes, I humbly asked him to remove them. Unfortunately, I wasn't humble at all. I simply wanted God to, you know, let me still practice my defects, but take away all the consequences. I didn't want to have people mad at me. I didn't want to be, you know, raging at people.
but I didn't want to practice any different behavior. And it was only through listening to other people on this line that I realized that I need to practice other behavior when these character defects come up and when God gives me that ability to do that. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, I work 10, 11, and 12 daily, but I work 6 and 7 practically every minute. You know, it's constantly showing me what, you know, he can do for me, which I can't do for myself. And, you know, I love the fact that it says in steps, in the seven-step prayer that it says, I ask you to remove my character defects that stand in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And sometimes I see that old Mary, that one who was the rager, who, you know, wanted to be right, who wanted to insist on her way, pop up. And I'm like, oh, you know, darn, I'm still there. You know, that person is still there. And that's truly what makes me humble. That's truly what pushes me back to saying, God, I can't take that away. I need your help. And, you know, if I just say that little prayer, I can somehow have the ability to keep my mouth shut. You know, I may have to work through a resentment or things like that, but I know what to do today. I don't have to run to the refrigerator to take away that uncomfortable feeling. And I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Mary G. Phoebe B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Phoebe B., abstinent food addict in Vermont. This is just a wonderful conversation to be having, and thanks to everyone who shared. And Kathy, thank you for your service. Step 7, the prayer gives us really wonderful directions. I can't do the steps unless the food is down. So the first thing for me was obviously to admit my powerlessness over food and step into the safety of following a food plan, weighing and measuring my food. And then I was able to utilize the God-given gifts of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness that it says at the end of A Vision for You. Those are what's important for us. So in step 7, I find that willingness that was employed in putting the food down and following a food plan and putting the food on a scale every day permeates everything for me. And the thing that's just most amazing to me is that right now for my reading and writing, I'm writing on the traditions in the 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, and I'm working on a series of questions that focus on the traditions as related to my primary relationship, which happens to be with my husband. And these questions are, I call them nudges from God, because they're exactly what the seven-step prayer says. They're asking God to help me to look at those defects of character. And every single question that I'm answering, and there's one question for each, there are like between 8 and 10 questions for each tradition. Every question asks me to look deeply into what are my character flaws that contribute to the things that take us down in our relationship? What are the things that I contribute to? And my husband and I have just been traveling a lot, and working on these questions at the same time that we're traveling has been such a gift, and I truly believe has contributed to our ability to really have a happy, joyous, and free time on our travels and with the various things that we're doing with our family. So with that, I'll pass with deep gratitude that I happened to tune in today where we were talking about the seventh step. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, CBB. And now it is Rose N's turn. Please share, Rose.
Hi, this is Rose N from California. Can you hear me?
I can.
Thank you, everyone, for being on this line. I am a relative newcomer, and at sponsor direction, I'm sharing with the group what I can with our reading, because I have been through the steps before, but never this way, and I have found this vision for you it's so life-affirming for me. I am a compulsive eater, and I've gone through the steps before, and when we read this paragraph, when it says, if we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing, I realized that I did the steps before to the best of my ability, but when I got to these steps, 6 and 7, I always ground to a halt, and I could never figure out why. And listening to everyone, I realized how integrated these steps are, and I didn't have a really firm basis in 1, 2, and 3. So when I tried to do 4, 5, 6, and 7, I still did not have that connection that I needed to my higher power. And as someone said before, he's a gentleman, and he could only help me as much as I would let him. So I did the best I could, but in doing that, I came to a vision for you. So I'm really grateful for that. And I am just a thank you all for being on this line every day, because you've helped me tremendously. And going forward, I hope I can be of service to my fellows and to God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose M. Let's see, Bonnie M., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M., and I'm from Arizona. When I first came into the program, I'm going to say, and I read this portion, you know, all I really wanted is, I shouldn't say all I really wanted, but one of the things I really wanted was I wanted to get an A in this program. And I thought I was willing, I really thought I was willing to do what it took. And then in another program, I read what we had to let go of, and it was part of their sixth step, and I got unbelievably overwhelmed at all the things that were asked to let go of. But I still wanted to get an A in this program, and the next line says, are we ready to let God remove from us all these things? And I basically prayed the prayer, even though I really didn't know whether I was ready or not, and probably didn't think I was ready. And I guess the assumption, because I too am dysfunctional at times, that I wanted, you know, my thinking was all or nothing. My gosh, if he took all these things away, who in the heck would I be? Would I be okay? Could I survive? And then, you know, the other thing I was told was to really trust this process. And today I can say that when I pray this prayer, and I pray it every single day, and I'm very well aware that I'm willing to have all these defects of character removed. I'm not scared of that anymore. And that there's still defects of character that I'm not conscious about, and that more is always revealed. And when it shows up, you know, I can get a smile on my face because it gives me something else to let go of, to work on, to learn and grow from. And the only other thing I want to say is willingness wasn't enough. Action didn't seem enough to me. But I wanted to do this with enthusiasm, because to me, enthusiasm, I didn't want it to be drudge. Enthusiasm comes from the soul and the spirit. And I wanted to do, and I really want to do this program with enthusiasm. So I include that in my prayer too. Grant me the strength, the willingness, and the enthusiasm as I go out here today to do your bidding. Amen. And with that, I pass.
Thank you for your share, Bonnie M. Faith M., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Faith, recovering compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes, perhaps you could speak just a little louder, Faith.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. I'm always struck by these two paragraphs, and thanks, everybody, for your service. I am new to a vision for you, but not new to OA, and I'm just getting so much out of the big book being read paragraph by paragraph. I was part of a larger all program, a big book study for about 6 or 7 years, and we went through the first 103 pages of the big book, and I think I did it with them 3 times, but they kept doing that over and over and over again, and I'm always struck by how short these paragraphs are for 6 and 7, but just how powerful this transformation is. I mean, having gone through this, you know, I'm not like, certainly not like somebody walking on water, walking on air after I've done these steps, 6 and 7, but I think that what really happened for me was I was part of a larger step study, and we were going through the steps, and all of our lives started to change, and it was just miraculous, because sometimes you can't see it for yourself, but you sure can see it in other people. And, you know, I'm just always struck by how there's not really a lot of words to just how transformational 6 and 7 are. And, you know, I think I always need help with knowing what my defects of character are. I think I know what they are, and they end up being things that I'm like, well, what do you mean? You know, of course I'm critical of myself. You know, I've got to keep myself in check. I'm critical of you. I've got to keep you in check. You know, and then I'm told that that is not my job. You know, being self-critical to the, which is, it's actually self-abuse. I had no idea. It was just something I relied on. I just thought that was the way I was supposed to do it. You know, keep going. Keep your thumb on yourself. You can do it. And it was just all my self-reliance. You know, constantly just, you know, that negative self-talk and believing it and pushing myself to this nth degree. And, you know, I'm so glad that the prayer says good and bad, just in those ways, not well, like positives and negatives. It's like good and bad, you know, just the good stuff and the stuff that really sucks. And anyway, I just wanted to participate a little bit more. And just say just how grateful I am for this program. I don't think I'd have my life. I don't think the quality of my life would be as it is if I did not have this program. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Faith. Okay, Jordan L., you'll be our last share for today. Go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning. My name is Jordan L. Can you hear me?
I can.
My name is Jordan Nell. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in our sunny state of Colorado. and I'm grateful to be able to be live this morning. I wasn't able to yesterday. So this first line, if we can answer to our satisfaction, it's talking about the couple of paragraphs before, right? And the couple of paragraphs before, yes, we consider if we've left anything off of this inventory. but it also says we consider the first 5 proposals. And like someone mentioned earlier, you know, like this is kind of where I take a look at, okay, did I really do steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? You know, and I don't move on unless I can answer to my satisfaction. And it's not like I felt 100% satisfied at the point that I was at step 6. but I did believe I had seen enough of the pain and suffering and the bad things that my character defects cause in my life. I saw those in 4 and 5. So when it asked me, can he now take them all, every one? Like this is, like I distinctly remember considering this at this point. Can he now take them all, every one?
because I saw just how terrible they were and how destructive they were. And I remember thinking to myself, like, wow, God, this is quite the job. you sure you're up for this? You know? And I remember thinking that, because this is like, this faith thing is hard for me, right? Like, I don't have 100% faith automatically. I start to believe a little, I take a little action, it works, and then I start to have faith, you know? And I get a little more and a little more and a little more, and God gets a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger, big enough to do this job, you know, because that's really what it's about, me believing that he can do the job. Like, yeah, he can already do the job, but it's about me believing that, you know, to my core. And it looks like I'm out of time here, so I will just say I'm grateful to be on the line with you guys this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jordan L. And thank you, everyone who has shared and listened today. It's time to close the meeting. And we will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jordan L., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Can you still hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, then.
So this is page 164 of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.